Blog Talk Radio.
Still feeling the pain from exiting the womb of ignorance into a world designed to kill me at birth. I am protected. The Elder Council consisting of
trying to overthrow white supremacy. That's just what we have to do. We
figure
our children. I'm telling you, if our babies grow up singing, we shall overcome anything other than entertainment purposes. Our living has been in vain, you know. Since it's been a while since we've had an opportunity to talk with the internet/radio crowd, and we're glad to be back with you all on this evening. How you doing, man?
Man, I am, man. It's been a trying day in the life of a black man in America, though.
Man, that's every minute of every day and every hour, you know what I'm saying?
Well, man, well.
All day, every day. You know, I once heard a brother say, even when we leave the house, we have to make sure we have our driver's license, you know, our freedom papers, so we can be able to prove who we are. We have to go out and possibly deal with the beast, and then we have to deal with those of us who have fallen prey to the master plan of white supremacy. You know,
exactly.
Those of us who will harm us, you know, so we have a double-edged sword swinging at us at all times, you know. Seriously, it's a serious thing for the black man in America, and that's not to negate the things that the sisters go through. We all catch it. Saying just maybe different color flames, that's all, but we all catch it. Yes, indeed. We really want to thank you all for tuning in this evening with Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. And tonight, hopefully, we'll be speaking with Sister Rosa Clemente. She got with me and by way of email and let me know that she will be available on this evening. So hopefully we will be hearing from her shortly. But in the meantime, I got an email from Sister Mary Neal on today, big bro.
Okay.
And that's the sister who's been doing the work concerning her brother Larry Neal here in Memphis. And, of course, her brother was the mentally ill brother who the police killed.
Yeah.
And so she's been doing some work fighting against the so-called Johnny Cochran law firm, doing some work against them. And I just noticed a whole lot of times, you know, the sister's very aggressive in her approach, as she should be. No one should tiptoe around the bushes when dealing with these type of issues. And she does very good work, you know, with what she does as far as, you know, bringing justice. And we have to first define the meaning of justice, the reward for good and the punishment for evil. So she's trying to bring punishment to those who will prey upon the mentally ill in this city and will do harm to them or kill them, as what happened in the case of her brother Larry. And Big Bro, what I've noticed is not only with Sister Mary Neal, but with so many of us, you know, when we come to the people with, you know, things like, man, you know, I'm being followed, you know what I'm saying? Or, man, I'm getting strange calls on my telephone at weird times of the night. You know, oh, you just paranoid. Ain't nobody, you crazy.
Ain't nobody mess with you.
Yeah, you know, and when we bring these things up, you know, I mean, even Brother Malcolm stated that out of all the disciplines, history is best qualified to teach us, you know, when told properly. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And so what we're going to do, Big Bro, I have a list, and you and I both saw the, what was it, the CIA secrets?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Explain that show to the listening crowd, if you will, Big
Bro. The show basically exposed a lot of the things that the CIA have done to the people of the United States, majority black, but nonetheless as a whole. One of the things that they did was they dropped a biological chemical agent down in the subway of New York, and within a matter of hours it affected a whole lot of people, and they just wanted to test it and see if it would be good to use as war tactics against so-called foreign countries or whatever. That's also, you know, as along with Harriet Washington about the disease mosquitoes that was released in the 60s with on black people, especially in Florida and Georgia in the 1960s. So these are some of just the so-called secrets that the United States government and its forces of the FBI and the CIA have done just to the people that call themselves Americans.
That's right. That's right. And if they will do that to their own people, you know, white folk will do this to white folk, we don't stand a chance.
No, we don't stand a snowball chance in hell, bro.
Man, what you say? Before we even get there, it's gone. You know what I'm saying?
No.
And we have to stop discounting what our brothers and sisters say, you know, speaking, holding conversations with Brother Seals and, of course, Big Man Howard, you know, a lot of times when the brothers and sisters stated that the government was using covert operations in order to get at the Panther Party for standing up for the rights of the people that in that era, a lot of the brothers and sisters were saying that they were crazy. You know, Geronimo Pratt, when he was released from the hells of the prison industrial complex, he got out talking the same stuff he, you know, went in talking. You know, just telling the people it's a government conspiracy. They're trying to discredit us because they don't want another black man to rise up and possibly, you know, spark the mind to lead us to our collective liberation. And at that time, you know, no, you just crazy, brother. These type of things don't happen. And we keep going for the same thing. We listen to their propaganda. And another situation, Sister Cynthia McKinney, she has released some, you know, some statements referring to 5,000 prisoners, 5,000 men being killed by gunshot during Hurricane FEMA. And every site I went on looking for this speech that she made, you know, during this press conference, you know, everybody was making comments, you know, this is crazy, she's silly. I'm talking about not only crackles, but porch monkey Negroes, you know what I'm saying? You know, all this woman has flipped out, you know, and I read one comment that said, we need to study our history. I'm no politician, and I don't support Obama, McCain, or McKinney, because I realize that all means have been exhausted at this time, but this sister is not crazy. When she came on 9/11, she sat there and told the American public, America did this. America knew that it was going to go down. They made way for it to go down, just like they did with Timothy McVeigh and other things, you know, the Vietnam
Oklahoma
War,
City.
Oklahoma City, you know what I'm saying? And and people said the same thing then. She was crazy. But what ended up happening? We found out, those of us who are not starry-eyed and googly-eyed by this American dream, we found out that the sister was indeed correct. So we have to stop discounting our brothers and sisters when they come with this information. And
right.
What we're going to do is, you want to say something, Big Bro?
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, those of us who consider ourselves to be astute or consider ourselves to be learned, so to speak, a lot of times, because it's outside of our realm of awareness, we would like to discount what people say as just being, oh, she's just crazy, or or that just don't make any sense. Why would the government do that? But you, those individuals who think like that don't honestly have a clue about what this government is about and what it is capable of doing, not only to white folks, but to black folks as well. And if you would just take a little film off your eyes, you will be able to see that black folks lead in every category of physical ailment that it could possibly be. Why is that? Why is it that we suffer from diseases more so than the average white person? Because most of the diseases that we suffer from target us or is designed for us to get sicker, whether it be due to diet or health or whatever the case may be, it is constructed to be so. AIDS started off as a gay white man disease. Now it affects more black people than ever. Why is that?
That's right.
But we don't, those who have not been trained to use their third eye, not been trained to think analytically and to think critically about certain issues, shove this thing off and end up getting caught in the dragnet later on.
That's right. And like you said, even if it's diets, those of us who have gone to stores in the white neighborhood and the black neighborhood, I mean, even just the corner stores and the gas stations, it's very hard to find malt liquor in a cracker neighborhood.
Yeah, you're right.
But, you know, you go in any black neighborhood, you got Coke 45, St. Ives, 8 Ball.
All of it.
Yeah, before you even get
every last one of them.
There it is, sitting right there, St. Ives, everything. You know, and even if you're a vegetarian, it's hard to find a veggie burger in the black neighborhood. You got to drive all the way to the cracker neighborhood to get a decent veggie burger out the grocery store. And
you're
that's just by
correct.
Design. They want to kill us, and they want to make money while they do it. You know,
exactly.
So what we're going to do, man, we're going to take a very, very quick musical interlude. This here is our sister out of Atlanta by the name of Queen Garveyism. We'll be right back. Real talk with Brothers Keeper. Peep this out.
Garveyism, yo. You be my black and I'll be your green, and we'll bleed the blood of our ancestors loving us together. We'll bring Africa to America. We'll sow forgiveness and reap the gold that was once stolen. We'll build black and buy black and border black and be black. We'll get green and grow green and gobble green and gain green. We'll rinse red and rhyme red and respect red and finish red. If you be my black and I'll be your green, and we'll bleed the blood of our ancestors love, and we'll be free and fight for them, cause they need a leader and it be we. And you be the sun and I'll be the moon, and you are one and I am two, and we'll drop your jewels on these ignorant fools and teach them knowledge and wisdom to understand the freedom is justice, to have equality and eat food with clothes on in a sheltered home, and lend love, portray peace, and harbor happiness. And yo, yo, you be my black and I'll be your green, and we'll bleed the blood of our ancestors of, and we'll warm my bodies with Ethiopian tea and plan a revolution. Every day of the week we'll meditate on Monday, taught technique on Tuesday, fight war on Wednesday, tally troops on Thursday, follow through on Friday, strategize on Saturday, see plan on Sunday. And yo, I love you more than Rita Love Roberts, Lauren Love Wyclef, Betsy Love Malcolm X,
For 40 years studying syphilis I mean, that becomes almost hereditary, brother.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
If a child is born with syphilis and the child is allowed to infect somebody else when it comes up into puberty or whatever, then what more heinous can you be, man?
Man.
How much more heinous can you be, brother? And for somebody to do that and then say people are being killed or imprisoned for no reason by this United States government simply to keep this information from getting out.
Man, it's absolutely preposterous. And here we are. Who hasn't heard of the Tuskegee experiment? You know what I'm saying? Who hasn't heard of that? And all of a sudden, it's like we think that the white man has found salvation or something. You know what I'm saying?
He won't do that.
Okay, well, maybe they did it then, but they won't do it no more. You know what I'm
exactly.
saying? You know, come exactly. on now. The devil is not capable of finding salvation. You know what I'm saying? The white man was the devil yesterday. He is the devil today. He will be the devil tomorrow. He will be the devil forevermore. His nature is
Amen.
That of the devil. He cannot change. You know
Amen.
What I'm saying? We have a poem, and you say he wouldn't do right if he could.
He could.
Wouldn't do right if he could. I mean, that's just it on that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And here's another incident, big bro. The pellagra incident. After millions of individuals died from pellagra over a span of 2 decades, the U.S. Public Health Service finally acts to stem the disease. The director of the agency admits it has known for at least 20 years that pellagra is caused by niacin deficiency, but failed to act since most of the deaths occur within poverty-stricken black populations.
Mm.
Ain't that something?
Again, they want to kill you and make money while they do it.
Now, this is 1935. It sounds like it's a long time ago, but these are our grandparents, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Dig this.
Yeah.
1940.
See?
Yeah.
Lupus.
Yeah.
All these things that are affecting the black community, basically the black community. Isn't that the same thing as plague was in?
Same thing.
Isn't that the same as the Tuskegee experiment then?
Same thing.
Man, give me another one, bro.
Now listen to this. 1940. 400 prisoners in Chicago are affected with malaria in order to study the effects of new and experimental drugs to combat the disease. Nazi doctors later on trial at Nuremberg cite this American study to defend their own actions during the Holocaust. How many times have we told the people that America has done things to its own citizens and citizens abroad that will make Hitler blush?
Blush.
Ain't that something?
Man. Brother,
Ain't
we need to wake up, man.
Oh, yeah.
We need to
oh,
wake
yeah.
up.
Oh, yeah. And I tell you what, brother, you remember studying the book Medical Apartheid.
Yes, sir.
For those of us who are still in that frame of mind that, well, that was a long time ago. They white folks have evolved. They're not racist anymore. We're finna have a black president. Explain the basis of the book, Medical Apartheid, if you will, big bro.
Well, the book Medical Apartheid practically starts in the days of slavery, how the president of the AMA got his start by experimenting with the vaginas of the slave women, doing all kind of heinous experiments on their bodies to save white women from certain diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So they were the guinea pigs, and it goes from that aspect all the way up to the poor medical care of the slave men, how they were only treated and kept alive and kept strong enough to go to work, and once they had outlived their workfulness, they were allowed to die from certain things. Like one brother had a cyst or something in his jaw, and they took his whole jawbone off just to experiment on it with no anesthesia. So, I mean, it goes from that point to how that they would rob the graves in the black cemeteries to use them as study bodies for the white medical association, how they would do all kind of experiments on black people that went into the hospitals so that they could come up with cures or use body parts from the people that would die in order to save white people's lives. It also talks about the experiments that was done in prison on the prisoners, black prisoners, skin grafts, cancer, and all kind of stuff that was given to them to study on them. It was also talking about the different diseases that were released into the black community by the United States government, things that were sanctioned to be done to black people in hospitals by the United States government, which caused the majority of black people to rather die at home than go to the hospital. I think it's called atrophobia, where you have a fear of hospitals. Mm. And the sister kept on putting, I mean, this is documented information. It's not just her word, her feelings or her emotions, but this is documented information that she got from medical journals and medical studies that majority of people not even privy to, you know. And this is what the sister was putting this information out, not only to let black people know about the heinous things that have happened, but to get them to understand that in order to cure some of these ills, we're going to have to take on our own doctors, you know, that treat and cure our illnesses and not just, you know, rush up into these hospitals and take all this prescribed medication, which is only designed to make you sicker and weaker and keep you coming back. So the sister put in a lot of information in these books, man, and I would ask that anybody who really wants to know some truth and factual evidence about the medical association, pick this book up. I mean, you can find it at any Barnes & Noble. You can probably get it off the internet. And the name of the book is Medical Apartheid by Harriet Washington.
That's right. Thank you for that, big bro. And we always have to give the people, you know, legitimate references because we are so skeptical of each other. You know, where you find that information at, just because somebody said it don't mean it's true. But I mean, that is correct. That is a correct statement. Just because somebody said it does not make it true. However, if you can find vaguely the same information is vaguely telling you the same thing in about at least 6 to 10 references, you can count that as being true, you know, by 6 different references. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, we're told that scientific method states that if you can only find something that substantiates what you say in one book or in no book, then you can consider that to be non-factual evidence. But if you can find that evidence to be found in multiples of different arenas, then you can count that evidence as being factual.
That's right. We're just going to have to learn to do the research and believe the research. You know, that's not saying believe everything that you find on the net, because people do make up things for their own personal purposes. But, and the you know, according to the subject that we're speaking of tonight, America will kill you, black folk. They kill white folks. You know what I'm saying? And they're just told that that's the cost of living. You know what I'm saying? Well, of course, you know, they call that necessary collateral damage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like if I sell watermelons for a living, I go get a truck of watermelons. Let's say I got 50 watermelons. Hopefully, by the time I get to my destination, my selling point, hopefully I have at least 35 to 40 watermelons to sell. But I already know that some of those watermelons are not going to make the trip. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So that's called necessary collateral damage. That's just something that happens during the course of doing business. So when America does these things to white folks, you know what I'm saying, all they're saying is that white folks, you know what I'm saying, you going to die. Some of y'all going to die, you know what I'm saying. And, you know, we'll purposely kill some of y'all for the purposes of living. That's just the cost of doing business. And then one thing that Neely Ford brought forth when he broke down white supremacy, he was saying that, you know, during this time, white folk will purposely kill white folk to make it look like we ain't trying to kill all black folk.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Then that will confuse some of us, especially this Obama thing. We you got black folk running around here talking about it's the post-racism era. Come on now. Obama does not speak for me, and I'm not, you know, mean to speak illy of the brother. I hope he gets the job. I wish every African will, you know what I'm saying? But the brother does not speak for me, and, you know what I'm saying, the people we deal with on a day-to-day basis.
You know, I mean, I understand, and brother, what you're saying is so correct. I heard a brother today in my travels today, the brother was saying that, you know, yeah, when, you know, Obama know what we need, and he get in there, you know, black folk gonna really see a turnaround in this country. Mm. And I asked the brother, I was like, how many men is Barack Obama?
Yeah.
He just one man. I said, so you believe that one man, whether he be the president of the United States or not, has the ability to change the racist parameters that the white people have set on this country?
No,
you think one? I said, what he will be is a reason for them to say there's no need for affirmative action anymore because you got a black president. There, racism don't exist anymore because you got a black president.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So what it is that white supremacy would take a nosedive up under the surface, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's still there. If you still 1 foot in the water, you're gone. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The brother, I mean, you know, like I said, I wish the brother well. I hope and pray, just like the rest of the people, that he will make some changes. I don't look forward to it. He's part of the system. And it's one thing that, you know, I was really hoping to ask Sister Clemente today. Why isn't no one speaking on the North American Union?
Right.
No candidate has mentioned that.
None at all. Now, see, now that's something Sister Clemente and Sister McKinney would have brought forward. And
exactly.
They can't even get – I have yet to see one commercial that says, I'm Cynthia McKinney and I approve this message.
Exactly.
That's because her and, you know, Sister Clemente are for the people, you know.
Exactly.
What I'm saying? And it's evident, you know, and these people want to kill us. And, of course, Cynthia McKinney and Clemente will speak out against that. We got
exactly.
A couple more examples. I tell you what we're going to do, we're going to take another quick musical interlude, and we're going to come back with some examples of how these crackers have killed their own citizens, you know, just so we won't think Sister Mary Neal is just absolutely crazy, and some of these things that maybe y'all next elected official can help us take care of or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I can pick
yeah.
up. You know what
yeah.
I mean? You're listening to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. We'll be right back with you. Check this out.
And then, you know, they did everything imaginable to his brothers. There were sisters who were so proud of themselves because, you know, some sisters had such resilience that they would fight this cracker. They didn't care how many teeth she got knocked out, she didn't care nothing. The cracker just couldn't rape her. He just couldn't do it. No matter how many teams the Pee Wee Brothers tried to do it, he couldn't get it done because she just fight too hard. And she was proud of herself because she had made it through this ordeal, and she picked the black man of her choice and had his child on the way. And so she would be having this child, and this cracker would say, I don't care. If you're going to fight better than me, this cracker would wait 8.5 months. In about 8.5 months, she's ready. She don't know. In 15 days or so, you know, this baby is coming, this chicken. They would wake up early in the morning and march up on the hill. The tree right there on the hill.
Talk about it.
And get some black men. That's what you want to call it. Some brothers would have gone through the same ordeal. And get him to grab her and tie her to the tree. And the whole black village is watching while she's tied to the tree. And the cracker tells the black man, go sharpen my knife. So brother goes and sharpens the knife. You know something wrong about to happen. practice it up to give me the magic. And I want y'all niggas, y'all are not men, you're not women no more. You niggas and your bitches, y'all understand what that means? Well, if you don't understand, I'm going to show you what a nigga and a bitch is. I'm the Christ. I'm your God. I'm your master now. And this is what happens when you defy me. When you take this knife and come at the top of her stomach, and come all the way around the roundness of her stomach, and reach this pack of hand inside, take the unborn child out, throw it on the ground, and stomp it. Say, do you know what a nigga is now? And this is what happens to any of you who defy my authority.
Murder, the lock, the system, the gang, set up to lead the black man as victim. The Marcus plantation, another name for the prison. The putting it in your face, but niggas never pay attention. The deception, oppression, the war of aggression. The turning the other cheek, but damn, we still ain't learned the lesson. The lynching, the raping, the murder, castration, the family separation with no reparation. The depopulation targeted for black nations. The HIV pandemic spread it through vaccination. The genocide, the truth behind Hurricane Katrina, the wreck, 84 contention sea plan of FEMA, the robbers, the theft, the taking of our wealth, the learning to love your enemies before you love yourself, the madness, insanity, the blind leading the blind, the changing of our history, the enslavement of the mind, the putting us on the cross, the taking of our life, the false indoctrination, the white Jesus Christ, divided, conquered, hated, with flesh. The raping of our people, how soon we forget.
Yeah, that's none other than Memphis' own Brother Prophecy right there on Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. That was Brother Prophecy featuring Irritated Genie, who I spoke with a little bit earlier today. Brothers doing well. They're doing some good things over there, Positive Comedic Visions out there in D.C. The brothers always putting it down, putting it down. You're listening to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. Big Brother, that was a vivid example of what crackers do to us on the everyday level. It's just a different toilet, same shit.
Yeah.
All day, every day, you know. And like you said, the book Mythical Apartheid, it goes all the way back to slavery days. A lot of us like to think slavery was just, you know, black people working in the sun from can't see in the morning to can't see at night. But, I mean, our brothers and sisters endured more than being worked to death. And they always want to, you know, the Jews think they have some type of copyright on sympathy, you know, talking about how they were treated during their so-called Holocaust. But as Brother Khalid Muhammad put it, you know, let's say they did lose 6 million like they claim. We lost over 600 million on the ride over here. You know what I'm saying? And they used to cut off the slave arms and sew it on his back just to see if it'll move. I mean, crazy stuff they used to do to brothers and sisters. Just like you just said, they would go in the black woman's vagina to do research to save they cracker women from going through the same thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Great.
And, brother, like I said, you know, I was talking to a sister today, man, and the sister told me when I made the statement that a lot of the sisters during slavery was, you know, was raped. And the sister, and a black woman told me, well, you wasn't there, so you can't really say. And I looked at her, and I was like, any time that a woman is forced to perform a sexual act against her will, it is rape. It is rape. So do you believe that when Master came down into these slave quarters and took what he wanted from these women, do you believe that it was consensual? Well, it may have been, it may not have been. You don't know, you wasn't there.
Yeah, that's who was definitely lost. I bet she had colored weave in her hair, didn't she?
Man, she had burgundy and red and stuff like that, man.
Exactly.
and the little Michael braids in the head, brother. And I was just blown away. Well, you can't tell me nothing about what happened in slavery because people over in Africa raping women and little children. I said, well, who told you that, sister?
Yeah.
That's what's happening. I seen it on the news.
Yeah, yeah. And just like you read about sisters being raped by slave masters, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, we crazy. with the bottom line, white folks want to hurt us and kill us. And we've been talking about instances that's going on, you know, that went on in the 1930s and 40s. But here's a story that is familiar to, you know, most of us who are familiar with our history and, you know, familiar with who we are. Check this out, bro.
Yeah.
In March of 1978, Mayor Rizzo decided to starve move out. Water and electricity were cut off at the Powhatan Village House, and hundreds of police set up sandbags, sniper posts, and checking points, sealing off a four-block area. Sympathizers remembering the siege of Native Americans at Wounded Knee 5 years earlier tried to smuggle in food and water. Most were arrested, but some made it. One 90-year-old woman snuck in bottled water on the potted plants. Residents were annoyed, then furious. Black groups tried civil disobedience. The blockade was broken, then erected again. Protesters ringed City Hall and were sent to U.N. Ambassador Andrew Young. President Carter sent negotiators to Philadelphia to try to cool down Rizzo. But he was becoming an international embarrassment. Rizzo was not about to be cooled down. The negotiations broke down in early August. On the morning of August 8th, the ex-cop/mayor applied the municipal tool he liked best, the nightstick, naked brute force. Hundreds of flak-jacketed rioted police moved in. Bulldozers knocked down the fences and splintered Move's outdoor platform. Cranes knocked down the windows of Move. Move fled to the basement with their children. The first shot rang out at 8:30 a.m. A negotiator who was inside pleaded unsuccessfully with Move to surrender, insist that he come outside, and was followed by thousands of bullets of gunfire that went off for 40 minutes into a civilian home. Meanwhile, the fire department tried to flush Move out by filling the basement with high-powered pressure hoses. Move members allegedly returned fire while holding their children above their heads while the water rose higher and higher. Finally, Move surrendered. Delbert Africa came out with his hands over his head and was beaten on the ground, stomped, kicked, while thousands watched on TV in slow motion. Bulldozers worked through the day to crush the house to rubble, and it was carted away by nightfall. The fastest destruction of a crime scene site in history, Lynn Washington called it. The next morning, Pam, who was not yet Pam Africa, walked down the street and saw an empty lot where the house had been. There was only a porta-john standing, left on the site like an exclamation mark. A sign had been taped to it by police. We removed most of the shit from the neighborhood. This is for the rest. That is a quick synopsis of what happened to the Move organization. And then, like, man, that's
man,
not
anybody,
the whole story.
And anybody that know, anybody that know about the Move, who have studied what happened to them brothers and sisters in Move, you know, they were saying that their house was rat infested, and they were saying that there was all these things that were going on. But when public health service officials came through the house, they said that there wasn't much furniture there, but it was not dirty. And it was not smelly, you know. So, I mean, but here it is. You can go into the average $300,000 home in the suburbs, and it's not going to have much furniture in it. You know what I'm saying? Because most of them ain't living like they portrayed that they're living. You know what I'm saying? So here it is. When you see stuff like this that go on and people are. This brother was kicked in the face so bad that his head, the back of his head was on his neck doing this thing. And to think that you would turn high pressure water hoses on pregnant women and children, man, they didn't even do that to these so called cults that they done busted down in Texas and stuff.
Yeah,
they didn't even do them like that. They marched them people out peacefully. But this is just another outward show of the disdain that they have for black people who know that they're black, first of all, and act accordingly. Man, if people don't wake up, man, by the time they really get a sense of what's going on, it'll be too late, bro.
Man, it's already at the point to where it's too late. You know,
yeah,
when you have Negroes taken up, you know what I'm saying? Some of these porch monkey handkerchief Negroes ought to be lawyers and attorneys. They defend crackers more than anybody. You know,
you're absolutely
coming to the defense of the cracker all the time. We get it every single day. Well, all black folk ain't good. All white folk ain't bad. You know what I'm saying? All this old stuff. And you know what I'm saying? Even the Porch Monkey Negro was talking about, well, I don't want to vote for Obama just because he's black, because that ain't right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just ignorant stuff. You know, a Porch Monkey is scared to vote for another Porch Monkey, you know what I'm saying, because he's black. You know what I'm saying? Just afraid of being, you know, afraid of being black. We never want to be accused of being too black. I mean, we just in a bad state right now. You know, I don't know what it's going to take for us to wake up and, you know.
Doc, it's going to take most of it's going to take most of these people to see their mothers and fathers murdered by the government in front of their eyes for them to say, okay, you were right.
Man.
That's what it's going to take. It's going to take a lot of these women, especially women, because they hold the key to it all. But it's going to take some of these women to see their sons choked out to death in front of them in order for them to wake up and find out that the things that are being told by those who have researched these things for many a years and telling them it's correct, brother. You know, when a brother says, man, police brutality is wrong, and I got a knot in my head and I got broken bones to prove it, why should I have to show you the hole in my hand, so to speak, in order for you to understand that what I'm saying is correct? It shouldn't be that hard, brother.
Yeah.
You know, most of these young people right now in this country, young black people, are perishing simply because all they want to do is smoke weed and have sex. They don't want to. They don't want to get any knowledge of self. They don't want to get any knowledge of male and female relationships and family and purpose and history. They don't want none of that. They just want a blunt and a booty, Doc.
Yeah.
And that's why this dumbing down effect of intellectual insight and thought is being felt so ever prevalent across this country, man, because we have been trained to hate ourselves and hate anybody that knows anything more than what we do.
Yeah, hate those who try to come to our rescue. And even
their
recreational drugs are not the same, because, I mean, it really alters their behavior in fashions that it didn't used to alter, you know, people when you and I were that age, and you and I never really got into the marijuana smoking. I'm glad that we did. You know, we do have to be an example for the people. Neither one of us have been weed smokers, you know what I'm saying? I got asthma, and you just chose not to do it, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And, but... I mean, the white folk is trying to kill us on every front. And here's a couple of more situations. We're going to bring it on up to the 90s. 1990, more than 1,500 six-month-old black and Hispanic babies in Los Angeles are given an experimental measles vaccine that had never been licensed for use in the United States. CDC later admits that parents were never informed that the vaccine being injected into their children was experimental.
Mm.
And people wonder why we always tell them,
do not
let your babies get shot up.
Do not. People don't understand that diseases like autism, all kind of different diseases that are happening to our children, and these days, diabetes and all these different things that our children are now contracting are directly affected by the vaccines that these children take just to go to school.
Exactly. Time released. And all
time released, brother.
Like you said, you know, children have to get certain vaccines before they even admit it into school. Another white supremacist institution.
Exactly.
You know
exactly.
What I'm saying? And most of us don't know that you don't have to have that. Our children do not have to have that. You can reject that by means of religion or philosophical differences. You just got to fill out the paperwork. And it's not very extensive paperwork, because you and I
know
it's
not.
Before.
No, it's not.
Right. And
if sisters would know that breastfeeding protects the baby and builds up the baby's immune system to to the point that none of these diseases would affect them anyway.
Right.
If the sisters would just breastfeed. But now when the baby's born, they put them on the Similac, which is a sugar-based formula, which causes these babies to be jumpy and wiry and not able to sit down and everything because of what you fed this baby while he was a little baby. Man,
tell them what happens to the babies when they're jumpy and stuff in school.
Oh, then they're labeled as being ADHD, and then they want to give you some Ritalin and all these other drugs, which cause them to act out in other ways. So it's like a pipeline from schoolhouse to the jailhouse.
Exactly. Exactly. All a part of
what people don't understand, brother, is that, you know, being a father myself, my wife breastfed. And when she breastfed my children, they went from the breast to table food.
Uh-huh.
They wouldn't even eat baby food. They rejected it altogether. Because when I grew up, the women would take what they call pot liquor and put it in some cornbread and mash it up real good. And them babies, that's what they ate.
That's
so they grew up healthy and strong. And there was no such thing as asthma. You know, very few people I knew had asthma back in the day.
Right. Exactly.
Now, most of the children have allergies and asthma.
Yeah. I mean, we just as crazy as roll is us right now. You know, due to the whole lot of this medicine we're taking, you know what I'm saying? And
exactly.
I mean, that was 1990. And dig this, 1995, U.S. government admits that it had offered Japanese war criminals and scientists who had performed human medical experiments salaries and immunity from prosecution in exchange for data on biological warfare research. October 3rd, 1995, President Bill Clinton publicly apologized to the thousands of people who became victims of MK Ultra and other mind controlled experimental programs. Ain't that something?
And Sister Harriet Washington also talks about the MK Ultra project.
Yeah.
In her
yeah.
book, The Medical Apartheid.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it don't have to be a Area 51. It don't have to be a Roswell that you can't get any information on and you can only speculate. This is documented evidence, brother. It ain't hard to find.
None at all. None at all. I mean, matter of fact, you can just go on Google. You know what I'm saying? That's all you have to do because that's all I did right now was put in CIA atrocities. And what we're reading to the people right now is what came up.
Man, that's a mess.
Yeah, I mean,
brother.
Took the time out to figure out what's going on around us, you know what I'm saying? We know, because, I mean, white folks are so arrogant, you know what I'm saying? They had a TV show on this the other night.
Yeah.
TV show. You know what I'm saying? So they're like, yeah, we did it. This is how we did it. Now what?
Yeah. Yeah, now what?
Because now they still know that even though they came out and said that they gave blacks and Mexican children experimental measles vaccines, that the masses of us are still going to go get our children vaccinated.
Exactly. Just because they told us.
Yeah.
For no other reason other than they told us to.
That's it. Because they said I had to have it. They said, man, look, brother, I mean, the way you say it is so sad that it's funny. We have to laugh to keep them crying.
That's
I mean,
brother.
Just crazy stuff. You know, Project Monarch. Mind control is absolute under MK Ultra Project Monarch. Trauma-based mind control, a subsection of the CIA's Operation Artichoke, which is also known as Project MK Ultra. The sophisticated manipulation of the child's mind to protect itself from extreme trauma by creating multiple personality disorder. By creating multiple personality disorder. You know what I'm saying? I mean, bro, we out of our mind to keep on in this behavior. We are out
Man.
Of our mind. Well, those of you all just tuning in, you've been listening to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper, and we've been discussing atrocities that have been done to United Snake citizens under the auspices of experimentations and everything like that. I mean, they've done everything from injecting babies with experimental measles vaccines to putting some type of germs in New York subway stations and throwing people off buildings and some of everything. And we still doubt that this government is willing and able to kill black folk. You know what I'm saying? We dispute that fact. No, racism is in the past. It don't matter no more. These crackers is trying to kill us right now, black folk. And they won't stop until enough of us are gone to where they can control us by their finger now. Crazy stuff. Crazy
stuff. Off the chain.
Yes, indeed. It's real crazy. But, I mean, we better just wake up to the obvious truth. That's all.
I'm telling you, man. And I don't, like I said, you know, I would have thought that after Katrina, people really would understand, you know, what the government is capable of doing.
Yeah.
I would have bet my life that black folks would rise up and wake up, man, and said this would never happen again, brother.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is that Katrina could happen anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the same thing happened before.
Same old thing. Well, you got any closing words for the people, big bro?
Man, I just want to tell everybody that you know, the Creator gives everybody gifts and talents. The Creator gives us the understanding or the mindset to understand the things that we read, the things that we see, the things that we know, the things that we research. The Creator gives us these gifts to understand what it is that we have to understand when we do research and read. I would just ask that the people use the mind that the Creator has given them. We, as a race of people, are capable of doing the greatest things known to man. Why is it that we won't even educate our own selves? It just don't make sense. Brothers and sisters, use the tools of research at hand. The computer is one of the greatest tools that we know of, but we will only download music and go to sex sites and chat rooms on the computer. Why not use it for the edification of mind and spirit? People, it's time that we wake up and see exactly what's going on. Check your leaders, check your pastors, check your spiritual advisors or whoever you want. Check what they tell you by research, and come up out of this mess that we in.
That's right. You all have been listening to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. We definitely thank you all for tuning in with us on this evening. I want to thank Sister Jackie over there at MasterGrio.com for allowing us the responsibility as well as the pleasure of listening and teaching and learning with the people all at the same time. And my only closing words are that crackers don't love y'all, so stop loving crackers. You can't love your enemy into submission. It ain't going to work. You know, we got to learn to speak the language of our oppressor. You can't speak to them in the language of love and understanding when they're speaking the language of brutality to you. So stop all this stuff and learn to defend ourselves by any means necessary, just like Malcolm said. Learn to do for yourself because it ain't their responsibility to help us. It's only their purpose to hurt us, maim us, and kill us like they've been doing. Thank you all for tuning in to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. We're going to end this here with yours truly. Your guru. If y'all don't have the CD, go get it. CDBaby.com/brotherskeeper and the number 2. All the proceeds benefit our prison prevention program, feeding the homeless and everything like that. So as we say in closing, Black Power, we love you. Love yourselves. All right, big brother, we out of here, man.
We out.
Yes, indeed. Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. Black at you on next week. Black Power.
Searching for home, my friend. Blocking my brothers.